kicking off hour number three. Three and Out, Fan Run Radio. Is that our time or Israel time?
It's a valid question.
I'm sure he meant our time. What's the difference between Israel time and our time?
Man, I've never been to Israel. I don't know.
And that's why
I was just reading a Bruce Pearl tweet. They play at 12:30 Central time.
Let's see.
12:30 Central.
So I don't know that in Israel time. Sorry, Hickman.
Right now, currently in Israel, it is 4:03 p.m. So that makes sense, actually. That's a good tip-off time in Israel.
Is that 9 p.m.? 8 p.m.?
Yeah, I think so, right?
Is that a good tip? That's a good tip-off time in Israel, 8 p.m.?
They're playing the Israeli national team.
It'll be 7:30, right?
Several NBA players.
7:30, 8:30. Oh, they've got some?
That's what Pearl has tweeted out.
Look out. One spot behind us in the way too early preseason rankings.
Might be jumping us.
I watched them play the other day. They have that kid that was committed to LSU. Freshman big dude. I forgot his name now. Trahori or something like that. He looked pretty good.
No idea.
Yeah.
Billy Stats was very complimentary to me over the weekend, just hyping up Arkansas and Auburn, how they're overseas playing basketball.
Mm-hmm.
And right. Then taking shots at Tennessee for going to the water park.
Does he not think that we're playing some basketball too?
I don't know. He said Arkansas and Auburn are overseas playing games and our guys are at a theme park. You don't want them to burn out.
That's what I'm saying.
That's the key.
There is such a thing as too much basketball.
You know how many great careers have been ruined because the person just simply burn out?
Don't get me wrong. There's something to be said about getting in basketball shape, but I feel like swimming is a great aerobic exercise.
Yeah, of course.
And less stress on the joints. What's wrong with swimming? What's wrong with having a good time with your fellow teammates?
Culture.
Culture. It's important. So he's out on Soaky Mountain?
Yeah, I guess he's out on it, which is pretty offensive to me.
They looked like they were having a pretty good time.
Oh, Adu just had the biggest smile in the world at all times.
And such a sweet jumper.
Dude, his jumper is sweet.
Whether it goes in or not, it's a sweet jumper.
He went like 4-9 on mid-range jumpers this year. That's pretty good.
I don't think that's right. He hit a couple. I'm not
watching
saying he didn't hit a couple.
I'm pretty sure you missed one because it was during the Arkansas game. You were fishing.
I was not fishing during the Arkansas game.
The game at Arkansas.
Oh, yeah, that one I was.
Yeah, the one that I texted you and I was like, are you watching this bleep? It's worse than Texas Tech.
Was that when...
How many
charges did Williams take that day?
Nah, probably like 6.
Oh, did you see that, by the way? They are going to assess... What did they call it?
A flop roll?
Yeah. It's a... They're doing technicals like flagrants. It's like a level 1 technical foul for flopping. So Arkansas is in deep trouble.
Oh, the Grant Williams rule.
Whoa, what?
Yeah, he was known to oversell a little bit, but...
Well, there's difference in flopping and overselling. When you're that big, if you know you get hit, sometimes you got to sell it and go down. But just because you're too big and strong to fall over doesn't mean it's not a charge. So you got to sell it. Do you disagree? Did you ever take a charge?
Dude, are you kidding me?
Did you ever take a charge from somebody smaller than you?
Yeah.
Did you sell it?
Dude, I was the charge king.
Were you coached to sell it? Slide back?
Sure, yeah.
Tuck the chin. Cover the you-know-what, slide back, but make sure you don't hit your head on the floor.
I took like 8 charges in one game.
Okay, you're the problem.
Dude, they were actually legit charges.
All of them.
I had some blocks caught on me too, but...
Did you sell any of them?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so you understand perfectly the importance.
You talk about a legendary performance, though. 8 charges in a game is pretty legit.
What'd you score in that one?
Probably like 6. I wasn't a scorer.
Is that
a record?
8 charges taken, 6-point score?
I was a glue guy and an energy guy.
Is that why the phone's sticky? Glue guy?
Yeah. I'd say my career stat line was probably like 6 points, 6 rebounds, 3 assists. 3 charges.
That was your average?
If I was to guess, yeah.
6 points. What are you doing? Were you not the biggest guy on the floor? Not big. Were you not one of the tallest?
Yeah.
6 points? 6 rebounds?
This high school?
Yeah.
Rec league?
High school.
No, this is Northview Academy All-Star.
Dude, I was a defensive juggernaut.
Juggernaut.
Dude, every game, hey, guard their best player. That was me.
Their best player, every time.
I put so much on defense, it was like, I'm just going to take it easy on offense.
So. Boy, you really are a Rick Barnes boy, aren't you?
Don't say that.
Well, I'm just saying that's what he wants. He wants you to give your all on defense.
Euros.
Yeah, you're. That's what you are.
No,
Euros. Glue guy.
Nope.
Right? Big, intimidator, guard their best player.
All right, here's where I'm not Euros. Best three-point shooter in school history, by percentage, minimum 4 attempts.
Four attempts?
Dude, I'll have three or I'm 3 for 4 in my career from 3.
So you made up, you just backed it up until, are you sure no one in the history of the school went, I don't know, 4 of 5?
Not that
I
know.
Or you say maximum of 4 attempts?
Minimum.
was your career one game?
Let's see, I never hit 2 threes in a game.
Well, if you only hit 3 total, I'd say that's probably accurate. Is that over a 4-year career?
That's over, 4 years.
What was the most points you scored in a game?
20. And the funny thing about that was, you know who it was against?
No.
East Hickman County High School.
Oh, you just saw red.
Oh, yeah, it was.
Okay.
Did not miss a shot that game either. Perfect from the free throw line as well. It was funny because their coach came up to me after the game. He said, man, we watched film on you guys, and I did not expect you to do that. I was like, hey, thanks, man.
Is that really a thanks, man?
Like, no, that was a big insult.
Yeah, it's a...
They had you on the scouting report.
Do not worry about this guy.
Yeah,
hey, that's how you exceed expectations.
Yeah,
it's important.
Got a trophy for that game because it was in a tournament, and I got MVP for the game.
You won game MVP?
Yeah.
Was it the championship?
Semis.
Nice, man.
We lost in the championship to the host school.
Oh, do they have a little home cooking?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, in those, was it an in-season tournament or preseason?
In-season.
So it counted?
Yeah, it counted. Huh. It was in, we were at York Institute.
Where's that?
I think that's Cookeville? No, Crossville. Somewhere in Middle Tennessee.
So the York Institute refs were a little biased towards?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, that makes sense.
And it was a pro-York Institute crowd, too.
Oh, you guys were really in the lion's den.
We were. It was.
I'm saying. I mean, the crowd was against you. The refs were.
Oh, yeah.
You. Did you at least keep it close?
Yeah. Well, see, we cut it to 2, and then we had a technical foul and a flagrant foul back to back, and then so they hit the. They hit.
That sounds like home cooking.
They hit 4 free throws
and got the ball
back. Instantly hit a corner 3 to go up 7 with like a couple minutes left. And at that point, you couldn't claw back. They were good though. They had some guys. Had one kid commit to Tennessee Tech.
Really?
So, I mean, they were pretty good.
How'd you do in the championship game?
I don't remember.
Oh, that's funny. You remember the game before.
Well, I mean,
you didn't miss a shot,
well,
but
see,
you don't remember anything.
The guy committed to Tech was a post, and he was my matchup, and he did have about 5 inches on me, so I was very undersized.
So you're saying you probably had a bad game? Ish.
No, I didn't have a bad game. I mean, didn't have a great game.
He was just hard to guard.
I don't even think he scored that much.
Hmm.
Boy, could he swat shots, though.
Well, he had 5 inches on you.
Yeah.
FSK, out of context, brings up a really good point.
I'm sure they do.
Did you make any trips this weekend?
To the lake?
No, yeah. Like to like a home department store?
I live in Kodak. Why in the hell would I go to Cedar Bluff Lowe?
I can think of one. He just gave away the exact location. Now we're all in big trouble.
I did.
I can think of one really good reason. Yeah. So you didn't go?
I'm not driving 45 minutes to...
For love?
No.
Do you not love?
Have you seen gas prices?
Yeah, but you got a fuel efficient
car. Aren't
they
on the way down?
Yeah, they're on the way down, apparently.
Hopefully.
Still over 4, my neck of the woods. So you didn't go. Do you have a plan for this week?
I don't know when I'm going to be going to Home Depot this week, but...
I mean, I feel like if it was important to you, you'd make plans.
It is funny, though. The last 2 times that either Jake or I have been to Home Depot, she has not been there.
Are you worried you scared her off?
No.
Jake says he has a plan that will work. All you have to do is, and I'm quoting here, follow his lead.
Yeah.
How do you feel about that? Without knowing the plan, just Jake says that to you, Hickman, follow my lead. Is that a thumbs up or is that a thumbs down?
Depending on the day.
Mm.
I mean, I've seen Jake have some really good ideas, and I've seen him have some really bad ones. So,
would you want to see this idea in writing before agreeing to said idea?
Probably, yeah.
That makes sense. You know, you're going out of town this week, so you only...
This weekend.
Well, I'm saying it's a limited... You got a limited set of days here to work with.
That's true.
I mean, are you uncomfortable talking about...
No, like it doesn't...
This could be the love of your life. Everyone is rooting for you. I mean, yeah, the feedback has been amazing. People want you to get this, to I mean, I'm not saying, you know, to get married to her or whatever, but to have that moment of, hello, my name is Adam.
Yeah.
What's your name? That's all I've wanted. I just want you to get her name.
I think we maybe locked that down.
Locked what down?
The name part.
No.
Maybe.
How?
With the help of some loyal listeners.
Well, we have a scouting department now? Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah, shout out to Noah.
Eyes on the ground.
Yeah, he might have locked it down.
This is big news. This is huge. So now you have her name. Now there's no excuse.
Well, I'll explain to you in the break. There's a tricky part to that. A, she might have a kid.
So? B, unless that's it. Usually when A gets
He was
said,
expecting a different answer.
I'm not saying B on air.
Well, then we need to take a break so I can hit part B. Roberto, hang tight. We'll get to you as soon as we get back. Hour 3 of 3 and Out continues. We go right back to the... That was a fast fade out there, Brett. Wow, that was... There it is. A little bit of background music. We like that. We like that. We'll go straight back to the phone lines where Roberto awaits. Roberto, good morning, sir.
Sure, far away to have a bunch of people stop listening to your show. Announce Roberto going into the break coming up.
That's okay.
Hickman, if I may, first of all, I got to say you're a welcome addition to this show. It's been wonderful. But I'm going to bash you a little bit. For you to go all in on Houston and saying he sounds like Nate, when you sound exactly like Jake on the radio, I mean like twin brothers on the radio.
Really?
You sound exactly like him. I can never. I always have to remember that he's not on this show.
That's a first.
Really? With an objective ear, I challenge anybody to go online, compare them, and you'll hear it. Now I'll give you this as a purveyor of Kodak things. You do have a little more Kodak in your voice.
Well, that's
I'll give
good.
You that much.
I like to like to let people know where my roots are.
Forgive my ignorance. I didn't hear where you played high school ball. You were talking about high school basketball earlier.
Northview Academy grad.
You played at? Were you on the first team? Because I know they haven't been open very long.
Yeah, I was first graduating class.
Good. Did you ever have to play Cosby?
Oh, dude, that was our biggest rival, Roberto.
Dude, so that was our biggest rival in basketball in high school, too. And you were talking about guys going to Tennessee Tech. They had this guy that was 5'7", and literally you had to guard him once he hit half court.
Yeah.
I was in high school.
There's something about Foggy Mountain Breakdown that just works as warm-up music.
Is it true or untrue that they smoke cigarettes at halftime?
I've seen a lot of cigs. I never saw players smoke cigs, but...
Oh, I did. You walked past their locker room, and it smelled like it reeked of smoke before and at halftime. Those dudes can play, though, man.
Yeah,
all they got to do up there. Make moonshine, sleep with their cousins, and play basketball. Respect.
They hadn't lost a district game until, I think, it was like 6 years until we beat them my senior year.
Exactly. It's crazy how good those dudes are. And the Cosby cut, you know? You got the spiky fronts with the shaved head in the back. It's kind of like a reverse mullet. It's pretty impressive stuff. Love for anybody from Cosby. Actually, Cosby's a beautiful place. Guys, as far as Tennessee football is concerned, this is actually, Houston, you were mentioning earlier that there's just not a lot of pop right now. And I think it's the calm before the storm of the dread of the season because we've been conditioned. I'm with you. But this weekend... you know, a little Vol for Life came on the radio. And I was like, why is this song getting me fired up? It shouldn't, but it does. It's awful, right? You know, he just basically describes kicking the ball off and all the things that happen. But in a way, that and when the boys of fall hit your eardrums, even though we all think Kenny Chesney's a traitor and he is, you can't not get a little fired up, right, guys? Are you with me here?
It's true. That Vol for Life is the best worst song ever.
It's so bad that it's excellent. Guys, as far as breaking down every game on our schedule, which you've done a pretty good job of, and I agree with DR today, I mean, Florida is, this is crazy to think, Florida is an easier win than Kentucky this year.
Whew.
It's because it's there. Let's take the names off the jerseys and it wasn't Florida. They're probably the, what, seventh, eighth toughest team on our schedule, for real?
Yeah, six, seven, eight, something like that.
I don't put them above Pitt. I think Pitt up there will be tough, and I actually think they're pretty good because of their defense. Florida doesn't even have that. They have a 25. You were saying it the other day, and that's everything I keep hearing. Houston, the same thing. They're decent in the top in their first 22, and after that, they are like abysmal, like worse than Tennessee was 2 years ago under Pruitt.
Yeah,
you know. So I actually don't fear Florida, which is strange. Usually I go into that with a lot. I'm not going to pick us to beat them because I swore, you know, after 2017 when I thought we were going to dog walk them that we didn't, that I'd never pick us to beat them again. So I'm not going to pick us to beat them. But, I mean, if you look at it, strip the names and off the front of the jersey, we should curb stomp them compared to the rest of our competition. If we can't beat them, we're probably going to go 6-6, guys. We have to embrace that.
Ooh.
Am I wrong?
I'd say 6-6 hinges on
Pitt.
That's
if we get lucky.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, South Carolina's probably going to be better than Florida. And South Carolina is there, correct?
Yes.
Yes, it is. Yeah. So South Carolina's going to be better than Florida. Kentucky's going to absolutely beat the hell out of Florida. I think Kentucky's going to work them. I think they're going to be, obviously the three cupcakes aren't going to be better than Florida. Then what? Vanderbilt, okay, four. So they're the eighth toughest team on our schedule is what I look at, seventh or eighth. And I just, if you can't beat them, you're going to have a long season because that means we probably got worked by Pitt as well. Guys, I'll see you out there. I look forward to a couple Thursdays out. What are we, three Thursdays away?
Three Thursdays away.
Well, love you, boys. Thanks for the time. And as far as Tennessee basketball is concerned, let's just make the Sweet 16. Let's not say Elite Eight or bust. Take care.
Thanks for the call, Bert. I'd take a Sweet 16.
I mean, I would take it. That's farther than you've gotten in 3 years.
Would you lock in a Sweet 16 loss right now? You're going to roll the dice, aren't you?
No, I'd lock it in, I guess.
Okay.
Guess you have to with Rick Barnes.
It is August 8th. They are having fun at Soaky Mountain, and you're over here just bashing the program.
Billy's right. They should be in Israel right now.
You don't like the Bahamas?
It's nice to play under adverse conditions, you know?
Is that right?
Yeah. Makes you mentally strong.
There's something to that. Is Florida really the eighth worst team?
I think South Carolina will be a tougher game than Florida will.
Yeah, that's what he said. I mean, it's – Are they better than Missouri?
Yes, they're better than
Missouri was bad last year. Surely they get a little bit better year three under Eli. But
Missouri beat them last year too.
They did, right?
Yeah.
Did Missouri beat South Carolina?
I think they did.
Yeah, I think they did.
They went on a weird run there late.
I don't know about Kentucky. I think Kentucky's probably better, but I don't think they're as good as they were last year. I think Wandale Robinson really made that team scary. I mean, that was one guy that you really couldn't guard. Now, they did get that Virginia Tech transfer, also named Robinson.
He's not as good as Wandale was, though.
No, he's bigger. He's like a 6'3", you know.
Not as electric.
Guy. No. Wandale Robinson, when they first came out, that first game, I think Levis threw for, you know, 3-something in the first half, basically. I thought that that's what they were going to be all season, and then they did what Stoops always does, and that's revert back and back and back until they become a run-first team who throws it when they have to. And he threw it well against us. He lit us up pretty good. He also threw the pick six that ended up being the game-deciding mistake. But you get him at home, and it's Kentucky. Like, it's weird. Like, Florida and us and Kentucky, it's like the inverse. Like, we view Kentucky as a team that we should beat basically no matter what. And Florida views us as a team that they should beat basically no matter what.
Yeah, I mean, the middle of the pack is just, it's just like we've been saying, it's a toss-up.
Yeah.
We just don't know. It just seems like all those teams are even. The same thing in the West. Like, they got that gap after Alabama.
Right.
That we have behind Georgia. So, I don't know. I mean, you just think Florida's going to be decent because they're probably the better quarterback out of those teams we've mentioned. Right? We think? Richardson better than Levis?
I think the ceiling is higher. I'm not going to say right now he's better than Will Levis. I think the ceiling is higher.
Yeah.
He's a more dynamic runner than anyone on the schedule. He's got probably the strongest arm out of all of them, but I mean,
we don't know what he has around him.
And that's the problem. Florida doesn't have, at least right now, they don't think they have game changers at receiver. Their best running back is a transfer from Louisiana. Their best offensive lineman is a transfer from Louisiana. And I'm pretty sure, is their best defensive player a transfer from Louisiana?
I'm not sure. And like you said, I mean, we're going to find out what these teams are right off the bat.
And I think that's good. I mean,
absolutely.
What always frustrated me was when Florida would have, like, if we played them in game three, they'd have two cupcakes, we'd have two cupcakes, and you really didn't know what to expect. With Florida getting Utah and Kentucky before we play them, you're going to see what Florida has.
You'll know.
They'll be riding high or they're going to be riding low.
LSU opens with Florida State.
Yeah.
They get, I think, Mississippi State, and then it's Auburn the week before. Like, we're going to see what LSU has. And Pitt, I realize it's only 1 week into the season, but they get West Virginia, a rivalry game. I'm sure they're favored to win that. So maybe if they get up big early, like, maybe they don't have to show everything that they're capable of. But that could be a close game where they're not just, you know, keeping it vanilla. Tennessee's going to go out against Ball State and do – they're going to run eight plays and probably win by 40.
Yeah, shut it
down. And we're going to say, oh, this didn't look that good. They weren't very crisp here. But it's week one.
It's more about what our defense does in that first game. Right?
Ball State's so bad, I don't know if it'll
even
matter.
I mean
– they're so bad. They're like 106th. Or something, and then Akron's even worse.
Yeah.
So game three, Akron.
What offense does Akron run?
No idea. I'm sorry, I have not gotten that far down my scouting report.
Are they triple option?
I don't know.
No. Don't say that. They're not triple option.
The scary thing is just touching on Georgia real quick. I mean, we obviously know how good they are, but I've been reading they're running a lot of three tight end sets because they got those three studs.
I mean, yeah, I figured they would.
Because I don't know what they have at receiver coming back.
That's going to take pressure off Stetson Bennett, which, first of all, his new haircut is hilarious.
What do they call him? Stequavius?
Stequavius Bennett.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
He looks like a completely different dude. He went from Georgia frat boy to, like, trailer park.
Yeah,
Eight Mile. Yeah, it's an interesting choice on the haircut.
Let's see.
I think, like, George is going to be good. I don't think there's any way they're as good as they were last year. Have you guys George Pickens is crushing it for the Steelers right now.
I saw him make a ridiculous catch.
He's made a bunch.
He's like been their best receiver so far, they've been saying, right?
Yeah, I think so. Like, that kid's good.
Yeah.
And obviously he was hurt a lot last year, but, like, that's a big talent.
Yeah, he
didn't
play in the national championship, did he? Was he there? I don't remember if he was or not.
No, he did. He caught that one deep ball. Like a diving catch and roll.
Because we talk about Alabama's receivers being out there.
Yeah, they
game.
Got hurt. But no, he caught, I think he had one catch. It was a big catch, but
yeah,
he didn't do much.
These
Akron was still,
uniforms are nice.
Is that, oh. Are we,
they do
are
not
we
run,
just
scouting? They do not run the triple option.
What do they run, pro style?
Yeah, their game with Ball State last year went down to the wire.
What, like our opener, Ball State?
Yeah.
What was the score?
Right now it's 31-25, Ball State up with 45 seconds to go. They're just trying to run out the clock. And that first down will put the game away.
Did you YouTube this game or something?
Yep.
Okay.
Did you know they played each other?
I did not. I just typed in Akron football 2021 highlights.
And the first thing that popped up
was
them
Akron
beating
Ball State, yeah. There's the kneel down, and the clock will run out. Actually, a little scuffle going on here at the 45-yard line.
Oh, are these feisty teams? Or should we be worried?
Refs having to get in there.
I'm not worried. Our culture is strong.
Now, those guys are dapping each other up.
Opposite teams.
That coach needs a new haircut. Not a fan of that.
We'll know to put. We'll have our backups in at that point. Third string, fourth string. There's a scuffle.
We'll let Hickman continue to deep dive the Akron Ball State game.
It's this chair, man.
His analysis, it really must be that chair. Like phone calls and deep diving rabbit holes. That's excellent stuff. More Three and Out after this.
You're listening to Three and Out, WKGN, Fan Run Radio.
Your pet is an important part of your family, and when he or she is ill, you want the best medical care available. The vets and staff at Admiral Vet are ready to provide your pet with cutting-edge veterinary medical care. From wellness exams and vaccines to advanced diagnostics and complex surgical procedures, your dog, cat, or ferret will receive high-quality care at Admiral Vet. Located at 204 North Watt Road, give them a call, 865-
Three and Out continues in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios Fan Run Radio. Houston Kress, Adam Hickman, intern Brett, along with you as we head towards the finish line on this Monday edition. Article, I think, I want to say Nate mentioned this on Friday. Matt Hayes wrote an article on Florida's red flags and says, quote, they have a ton of them.
Yeah, didn't he say like they're one injury away at a key position from
it might be,
being the worst team in the conference?
It might be every position. I mean, is it safe to say the only thing, I don't say the only thing, what scares you the most about Florida? It's Anthony Richardson, right?
Anthony Richardson and the fact that it's just Florida.
Right.
They got the, like, the mental edge over Tennessee.
But if they didn't have Anthony Richardson, I feel like I would feel...
Us by three touchdowns.
He's only worth one touchdown to you? Or maybe we call the dogs off.
Yeah, we'd
probably it's like
the
late
dogs
touchdowns
off
by them. Matt Hayes says a source close to the Florida program told him, quote, you can't imagine what the roster looks like.
In a bad way.
In a bad way, yes.
Yeesh.
Matt Hayes goes on to say Florida's best running back is a transfer portal signee from Louisiana. Their best offensive lineman is a transfer portal signee from Louisiana. And their best receiver is a transfer portal signee from Arizona State. He says, stop me when you think this looks like a healthy SEC program.
So they're a Sun Belt team disguised as the Florida Gators.
This is going to be a very interesting test for Billy Napier. I personally don't have anything against Billy Napier, except that he turned down a lot of jobs and then finally took the Florida job.
Yeah.
Like, Tennessee kicked the tires on Billy Napier a few times and basically got told to kick rocks.
But I'd rather have Heupel anyways.
I guess we'll see. I'm so far so good with Heupel. I do not have issue one with Josh Heupel. The offense is fun. I've always wanted to have a high-flying, explosive offense. I was a little worried when we hired Heupel that it's going to be too pass-heavy and we're going to get beat because we can't run the football. Actually, if you go back and look at the numbers last year, the balance was pretty good. We were one of the, I think we were a top 10 rushing team in the country. The same source apparently told Matt Hayes that the starters for Florida on offense and defense, quote, can win games, but after the starters, quote, there are guys who shouldn't even be on this roster.
Yeah.
It goes on to say that the reason Florida is in this predicament is because Dan Mullen was a, quote, horrific recruiter, which is pretty much playing out because you're seeing Billy Napier with nothing to sell for himself other than what he did at Louisiana. Obviously, he's had no success or lack of success at Florida, but they are, I believe, one spot behind Tennessee, 12th nationally.
Yeah,
Tennessee's at 11.
And 4 months ago, they were, I don't even think they were top 50 4 months ago. So they've climbed back into
it. Oh, yeah, they've had a really good, I'd say probably 2 months.
24/7 Sports has them going 6-6, 3-5 in conference, with their wins being over Kentucky, South Florida, Eastern Washington, Missouri, and Vanderbilt.
They do have them beating. They do have them beating Kentucky. Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Interesting. I was surprised at this. These are Vegas numbers. I want to make sure I get the sports book right. Okay, these are FanDuel over unders. Do you want to take a guess at how many teams have an over under in the SEC set higher than Tennessee's? Not tied with, but higher.
Probably three.
It is three. It is Texas,
Bama, Georgia, A&M.
Yes. I was surprised that Tennessee essentially is tied for fourth as far as who should have the most wins in the SEC. Other teams at 7.5 are Kentucky, Ole Miss, and that's it, actually. There's only two others at 7-5. Arkansas is set at 7 wins, which is strange to me because I feel like a lot of people have been, I don't want to say hyping up Arkansas, but they're thinking that they could take a pretty good step. And didn't they win 9 last year?
Yeah, they went 9-4 last year. They do have a lot of talent. KJ Jefferson.
He's a difference maker.
I would say he's probably the third or fourth best quarterback in the conference. They did get some talent from the transfer portal. They got Hazelwood from Oklahoma would be a nice addition for that offense.
Jaden Hazelwood. Yeah. Remember, it came down to Tennessee and Oklahoma. He goes to Oklahoma and then transfers
that'd
have
been
to
a nice pickup.
Oh man, him opposite of Tillman this year would be lights out. Arkansas again, like I said, at 7. Auburn over under 5.5. That's a weird one. They lost a lot of players, but it's Auburn. They may have the largest gap between ceiling and floor of any team in the conference. Florida over under set at 7. You said that article had them winning 6.
Yep, 6, 3-5 in conference.
Georgia and Bama both at 10.5, which actually seems a little low. I feel like I thought one of them would maybe be set at 11.5. Obviously, those are the near unanimous picks to end up meeting in Atlanta. Kentucky over under 7.5, tied with Tennessee. LSU 6.5. Mississippi State 6.5. Missouri 5.5. Ole Miss, as I mentioned earlier, 7.5. South Carolina 6.5. They did go 6-6 last year, correct? They didn't sneak into a bowl with the Rutgers rule because of their APR. Was South Carolina not 6-6? And then 7-6 to end the season? They didn't win 8.
No, they did. There's no way they won.
Okay, 8. That's what I thought. Tennessee, of course, 7-5 or 7.5. A&M, 8.5, and Vanderbilt rounding out the bottom. 2.5 wins, the over-under officially, according to FanDuel, for the Commodores.
South Carolina finished 7-6.
Yeah, so they were 6-6 and then won the bowl game against North
Missouri
Carolina.
Was 6-7.
Yeah, South Carolina played North Carolina in the Mayo Bowl.
And then Beamer complained and got mayoed anyway. How are you going to complain? It was for charity. I don't know about that guy.
It's kind of, I thought Kentucky's schedule was so easy. I was surprised they were projected so many few wins, right? Don't they have the easiest schedule in the conference?
It's 7.5.
They won 10 last year.
Who do they get from the West this year? Obviously, they get Mississippi State, and then they picked up – did they pick up A&M this year?
Ole Miss.
Is it Ole – that's right. It is Ole Miss.
That's a big question mark for me.
They have both Mississippi schools
this year. Okay.
Ole Miss has some talent, man. I just don't know how to play out with Jackson Dart.
Yeah, Jackson Dart.
They also got Zach Evans. Somebody that they got that a lot of people forget about was Jalen Robinson, UCF transfer, that was down to Ole Miss in Tennessee when he committed. He picked Ole Miss ultimately.
Yeah, that was kind of a weird one, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Did we want him? Did we pump the brakes on him? I understood him, you know, wanting to go to Ole Miss when Lebby was there, but Lebby's at Oklahoma now. So Ole Miss and Lane Kiffin replacing an offensive coordinator, going to try to replace Matt Corral, which I think is going to be a lot tougher than they expect. And Dart, did Dart even play that much at Southern Cal? Did he beat out Slovis or did Slovis get hurt?
I think Slovis got hurt.
That's what I thought, but I'm not sure.
Slovis definitely got hurt, if I remember correctly.
I think he played about half the game, Slovis, but I'm not sure what happened with Dart or if he filled in. Obviously, they brought in Caleb Williams, so they saw the writing on the wall.
So Dart in 2021, he had a 61.9% completion percentage. He threw for 1,353 yards, 9 touchdowns, 5 picks, long of 45 yards.
How many attempts did he have?
189.
That's more than I would have thought for that.
So just looking, I got his game log pulled up here. He only played in 6 games. And 6 games against this competition of the...
6 games, you said 1,800 yards?
1,300.
1,300, okay.
I mean, just looking at his numbers against some mid-tier to bottom-tier teams in the WAC-12... I don't see it. I don't see this kid being a stud in the SEC. I mean, when you're throwing for 46 attempts against Washington State, but you threw 2 picks, 12 of 18 for 109 yards and two touchdowns against Arizona. They're crap. California is crap, and you lost to them. In a game, he went for 17 of 26 for 191 yards. Yeah, I just don't see it.
Yeah, that does not... This is what I'm talking about. Look, how many of these teams have question marks? I mean, it's Kentucky, so I think we're always going to have some roll our eyes at Kentucky. I mean, they did win 10 games last year. I give them full credit for that. I don't know how good they are. And then all these quarterback changes across the conference. I mean, A&M's going to have a new quarterback. Auburn's going to have a new quarterback. I mean, I guess, yeah.
Like, Dart went goes two. He went 2-4.
That's not
at USC.
And now again, USC is another one of those rosters like Florida. A lot of people are kind of hyping up Lincoln Riley and Caleb Williams. Apparently, their roster, much like Florida's, once you get past the starting 22, is just abysmal. That Clay Helton, well, first of all, he was a dead coach walking for about a year and a half, and they kept bringing him back. So that roster's pretty much dirt, but. The fact that, I mean, that's two Southern Cal transfers that are going to play prominent roles, in Tennessee's case, obviously, with Slovis at Pitt, and then with Kiffin and Ole Miss and Jackson Dart. It's going to, I feel the top, like Ohio State, Bama, and Georgia are probably going to be there. I could see Georgia falling off a little bit. I don't remember a year where there has been this much, I really don't know. And I think the transfer portal plays the biggest part of that. Is how quickly teams can go and snatch a good player or just lose a good player to the transfer portal if they're not happy or if they can get offered more money elsewhere. I mean, that's essentially what happened with Jordan Addison, right? USC offered all this money. He jumps to Southern Cal, and now there's some issues with maybe he didn't get what he was promised. And, of course, Pat Narduzzi's furious. I mean, that's a strange situation that Slovis would come from USC, go to Pitt, and then the guy – who would be catching passes from him says, no, I'm now going to go to Southern Cal. Just a wild year, I think we're in store for. You could look at Tennessee's one of the handful of teams in the SEC that returns a proven starting quarterback that you feel good about. A lot of other teams are really playing some dice right now when it comes to finding the right guy. And some of them are going to stumble into a really good situation. And some of these programs are probably going to play musical chairs at quarterback all year and not have anywhere close to the season. And, of course, you're always only one injury away from a complete and total disaster. We'll hit our final break of the program, come back, wrap it up after this. It's 3 and Out on Fan Run Radio. Final segment of the program. Appreciate you guys riding along with us this morning. I don't know if you guys care or not, but practice is officially underway. I'm cool. Sure reports will be flooding our timelines.
As soon as we go off the air.
It's just kind of the way it works, yeah. That's the thing about the morning show. We don't really get much breaking news, and the guys in the afternoon get all the breaking news. All their show prep really pays off. It's fine. If you have restaurant recommendations for Sir Hickman, he will be headed to Nashville for the weekend, so just send him on in. I've got a couple I'll give to him off air. Don't want the places to be too crowded.
Yeah.
You know, all the...
Wouldn't want any crazy fans waiting for me when I get there.
I don't care about that. Just not while you eat.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if you're going to go enjoy a meal with friends, you should be enjoying a meal with friends. Maybe you could set up a meet and greet for your fan base, you know, at a bar or something, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sure you're going to be... very busy. What are you going to Nashville for?
The Chili Peppers.
That's right. That's
Nissan
right. We
Stadium.
Talked about that earlier. Oh, it's an outdoor?
Yep.
Are you a little nervous about the weather?
Not really.
This has been the wettest, like, 45 days in the history of East Tennessee for this time of year.
I think it'll be
Will
fine.
The stage be covered? Will the concert go on even in the rain? Do you know this?
I don't know. I mean, they shouldn't be too picky, you know? They are the Red Hot Chili Peppers. They're old. I'm sure they've played in every kind of weather environment there is known to man.
That is probably true. Have you seen them before?
I have not.
Okay.
I saw Morgan Wallen on Friday night.
Really? Where was he at?
Atlanta.
How was it?
Good.
Good.
He was very good.
feel like I've heard he's really good live.
He was.
He's a Tennessee fan, incredible. Right?
He's from here, yeah.
That's what I thought. Tennessee fan. No, he's Tennessee fan. Yeah. I get him. There's another one that's a big Georgia fan. I get him confused.
Yeah, I can't remember who that one is.
Oh, Thomas Rhett.
Is it Thomas? No.
I thought there was a picture on Twitter or something. Morgan Wallen, somebody.
Thomas Rhett's a Georgia fan. His wife is a Tennessee fan.
That's right. No, you're correct. Yeah, I'm a big Thomas Rhett guy.
I don't mind him.
I've hung out with him a few times.
Wallen is incredible, though, in concert.
But you've never seen the Peppers?
Never seen the Peppers?
I haven't either. I'm excited for the feedback on the... I've never been to a concert in a stadium, though. I feel like...
Garth Brooks was incredible.
Here? He was here? Did it sound good?
Yeah.
Morgan, he was in an amphitheater when I saw him on Friday night. Did it sound good? Oh, yeah.
That's actually the best way to go.
There's probably a good 40,000 people in this amphitheater, though. It was packed in.
Where was it at?
Outside of Atlanta.
Oh.
Or just right near Atlanta, I guess. We stayed in Kennesaw.
I mean, they do a lot of concerts at Nissan Stadium. Surely they have that.
Yeah.
Just, about as good as you could get it. I will say, though, I saw Of Monsters and Men at the Ryman.
Oh, I'm kind of jealous.
I was probably three rows back underneath the overhang, and the sound quality was just terrible.
Speaking of concerts,
you would not have expected at the Ryman.
Have you watched that train wreck documentary on Woodstock 99?
No.
Wow.
Is it good?
You talk about a scene.
What's it on? Netflix?
Yes.
Okay.
Three episodes. It's literally a train wreck. That thing was wild. I give it
not
a watch.
Not literally a train wreck. Did a train wreck?
No.
Oh, okay, good.
It was just... A mess, yes.
Everything that could have gone wrong went wrong?
Yeah, 200. Yes. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Ran out of water, unsanitized water, not enough security, fires.
I will have to check
But you also are talking about the bands that, like Korn, Limp Bizkit, like guys in 99.
Yeah, they draw a different crowd.
Yes.
That's not a wine and cheese kind of crowd.
Not at all.
Where was it?
New York.
Was it? Okay.
Yeah, somewhere in New York.
I have to check that out. So the Red Hot Chili Peppers. I'm excited for you. That's a good trip.
Thank you. I'm excited too.
As I said, I'll give you all my restaurant recommendations off the air for your own personal use.
Hopefully all the heroin hasn't ruined their voices and whatnot over the years.
I feel like they're still going pretty strong. Do you have a favorite album by the Chili Peppers? Are you a Blood Sugar Sex Magik guy, or did you like Stadium Arcadium?
Stadium Arcadium.
I love Stadium Arcadium.
They are in the 99. Documentary thing.
Are they really?
Yes.
Stadium Arcadium was the best dollar spent for an album of all time, because you essentially got two full albums for the price of one. I used to listen to that thing like crazy in college.
I need to find me an old CD and just buy them, since I'm such a big fan.
I may have it. If I have the double album, I will give it to you, because you deserve it.
You're so nice.
I know.
It was an honor to sit up here with you today.
We get to do it again tomorrow. We'll do it
Wednesday.
Right here, 7 a.m. I guess no blitz today, so enjoy some Dan Patrick.